Welcome to Lessons from a PhD, where every single episode teaches you different lessons to make your PhD and career journey easier.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Anna A.O., and I am host for Lessons from a PhD. So today, I have a very special guest with me. I have one of my really good friends, Patricia Dada, and she is Nigerian-Canadian from Toronto. She currently lives in Toronto. She has a bachelor in sociology. She also has a master's in human rights and social justice, and she currently works as a project manager at Egg Bank Canada, but I invited her here today to talk about a very exciting business that she just started. And I'm a huge fan of it because I feel like it's so necessary in our community today. And that is called Black Fertility Agency, BFA. So we'll get into it. But before that, let's tell them how we met because I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah. So we met in 2022.
Yes. January 2022.
We met at a mutual friend's birthday party. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was just natural. Everyone was talking.
Yeah. And I remember we were sitting across from each other.
Yes.
And in the birthday party, the person had like cards, like discussion cards.
Remember? Oh, I totally forgot that. Yeah.
And so there was like a question on the card and we all had to answer it and kind of give our opinion. And a lot of times, a lot of things that she said, I was like, yes, that's like 100%. I was agreeing with you. Mm-hmm. Remember? But what was funny was that I was like, okay, this girl's nice. But my now husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, really liked her because he was, or because I guess you...
Oh, I agreed with him to get a PS5.
Yeah.
So he wanted Anna to get him a PS5. And I was mm-hmm. like, yeah, Anna, get him a PS5.
Yeah. And she was like, I don't see why you wouldn't. And I was like, ugh.
But didn't you end up getting him a PS5? I ended up getting it.
And so whenever I say like, oh, I'm going to go hang out with Patricia, he'd be like, who's that again? Remember the girl that liked the PS5 or that wanted you to get a PS5? And he'd be like, oh, yeah, I like her. Yeah, you can hang out
she's
with
good
her.
Vibes.
Yeah, she's good vibes. So, yeah, we met 2022 January.
Yeah,
And
but we didn't cross paths again until 2023 August at another mutual friend's birthday party.
Yes, and then I remember we really talked then, and I was like, I think one of us was like, we should have dinner or hang out.
Yeah.
And it was at that next dinner, we went to the Cheesecake Factory.
Yep.
I remember my meal was delicious.
Yep. Was that your first time there?
Yeah, the first time.
Okay, so I have this thing where every time I meet someone new, I take them to the Cheesecake Factory so that way they can pass the vibe check, but you didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
So I was trying to go through the menu at the Cheesecake Factory with different people.
And I apparently was going through a test.
She passed the vibe check. She's great.
So... we had a very long wait because the Cheesecake Factory in Toronto, they don't do a wait list or they don't do reservations.
Yeah.
So I think we had to wait about an hour. And so I remember we were walking around the mall and that's how you told me about BFA.
BFJ at that time. Okay. Black Fertility Journal.
So can you maybe take us through the ideation of BFJ and then I guess how it evolved into Black Fertility Journal to Black Fertility Agency.
Yeah, so when I started BFJ, so for context, I work in the fertility industry, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a project manager for Egg Bank Canada, and it was such a new industry for me. And I went to so many different conferences, and I was learning so much from different embryologists, different geneticists, reproductive endocrinologists. And I'm just like, there's so much information here. Why is, like... Where are the people who look like me? Why is no one else who looks like me in these spaces, in these rooms? And I remember coming back from a conference in particular, and I don't really publicly share this story, but because Anna's my dear friend, I will tell her and tell you folks what happened. But someone called me a unicorn at the conference because A, I'm Black, and B, they recognize that a lot of these spaces are filled with like white people, Asian folks, and there's just not a lot of representation. And because I'm not even a physician or a nurse practitioner or nothing of the sort, she really thought that, whoa, you must be really great at what you do in business operations to be in these rooms. Mm-hmm. And I remember feeling like it would be great if like there was a journal or a space or something where people can you know, come and get these resources. And then I thought maybe I should just be that resource since I am in this space. And I don't think I'm going to be leaving the industry anytime soon. So I started the Black Fertility Journal, yes, for the community, but also for myself. I also wanted to learn about my own fertility. So I ended up doing some of the introductory tests, which I'll talk later on as to how people who want to, you know, do fertility testing, how to go about it. And then I was documenting what I was learning. I was reaching out to different cool people that I met in different clinics to interview them, similar to like what you're doing right now, just to get a sense as to what do you do, give some insights to people who are listening in, people who are maybe interested in egg donation or surrogacy. Like, please tell Black folks what they can do to, you know, get into this space or utilize these resources. So that's what BFJ was all about, just giving resources, ensuring that there's access, and sharing that online.
Yeah. And that's amazing. And I think it's so necessary, because I remember when you were first telling me about the idea, I was like, I've never heard anything like it. And me, myself, you know, I know a lot of people that were struggling from fertility issues. And I knew that it was very common in the Black woman population, right? So it's funny how being the only one, because if you guys listen to previous episodes that I've done, I've talked about being the only one and creating those spaces for people that look like me, right? To not be the only one and to have information that I didn't have. So that's really good that you decided to create that, just because there was a gap in the in that industry. So that's amazing.
And then in terms of the transition into BFA, so it got to a point where we got, I got a lot of different questions, and I realized, why don't I make it easier for people to understand what the real goal is here? When you think of agency, let's say, for example, a recruiting agency, you know, it's somewhere that you can go to for help. Maybe they'll have services for you. Maybe they'll help you with your resume revamp or interview preparation or whatever it is. So the reason why I switched it from BFJ, Black Fertility Journal, to Black Fertility Agencies, I really want people to hear our name and be like, I can go to them for help. Because agency in my mind rings, I can, like, there's support there. There's services there. And which is what we're now offering. We are offering a variety of different services to meet the needs of those who are going through different fertility journeys.
That's amazing. So you see, your idea didn't want to be that small. It had to be something big, like an agency. So that's that's really great. That's good. So can you maybe share some of the challenges that you went through when even just starting BFJ, because you were the first in the industry to kind of start something like that, right? Geared towards Black women. You said there weren't a lot of information out there. So can you kind of talk about navigating through that and being kind of the first in that industry and any challenges that you went through and how you overcame them?
So I will say, in terms of the Black community, there is something that exists similar to BFA in the US. Because it's just a wider population and they have way more Black people. So there is something, but they don't call themselves the Black Fertility Agency. They have a different name. Now, in other communities, these sorts of resources already exist. So we're kind of like, we're very much behind in terms of, like, I can name different, like, Asian communities that have similar things to BFA. There's even an Asian egg bank. There's a Jewish egg bank. Like, every other community that I can think of has already developed something of this nature, and it's been years in the making. So in terms of the challenges that we faced is, gosh, analysis paralysis. So fertility is a huge industry, and the journey doesn't just start when you wake up and you decide, I want to do IVF. Like, there's so many things they have to do before you even get to that, okay, I have to do IVF. So for example, the initial understanding as to where you are in your journey, right? Have you been trying to conceive for a year? If you have and you haven't been successful, then maybe you should be doing some investigative initial testing. So that testing will then lead to, you know, blood work, ultrasounds, just trying to figure out, is it infertility or is it something that it's related to health, like PCOS, endometriosis, and all these other additional factors that could be not enabling you to get pregnant. From there on, your physician would then Now, by physician, I don't mean like your everyday physician. I'm talking about a reproductive endocrinologist in fertility. Mm-hmm. That's a mouthful. Would then explain to you what your options are, depending on what that feedback is. So I say this to say, we had so many different areas that we wanted to cover, mm-hmm. because we can't just talk about IVF without telling people about what you should be doing before you even get
like
to IVF.
The process to get
like
there.
The process, yeah. Or even surrogacy. Mm-hmm. So, and we're a team of seven now. We have mm-hmm. four in-house nurse advisors mm-hmm. that support us. We have an ED, we have a social media person, we have me. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different factors to consider mm-hmm. that we're just like, okay, what is the biggest challenge mm-hmm. that we want to address first? Mm-hmm. And we realized the first thing that people need to know is, where do you even start? Right? Mm-hmm. And that's why we created the matching process. So that was the biggest challenge, because we mm-hmm. wanted to do everything at once, yeah. but we really couldn't mm-hmm. do everything at once. So now we created a matching program, which really tells you, if you have been trying to conceive for a year and you're unable to, you haven't been able to conceive. Now, let's say you don't have a family physician, but you still want to figure out, okay, what's happening? Mm-hmm. You can come to us. We will do an intake for you with our nurse advisor. Mm-hmm. She will ask you a whole bunch of questions. And she works for a clinic. So it kind of ties into what the clinic is also going to ask you. Mm-hmm. And based off of the feedback and the information you share to her, we will then ask for your permission to match you with a fertility specialist to do that initial testing.
Okay.
So now we kind of like erase the middle person okay. in terms of your family physician, in case mm-hmm. you don't have a family physician mm-hmm. or there's a long wait list. And we know that the system in Canada, because we're in Canada, is yes. just, it's
we,
a lot.
We know. If you're in Canada, you also know yourself.
You could be waiting 6 weeks to... Right. A month, mm-hmm. well, and everything in between to find a family physician. So we kind of make that process a lot quicker. Okay. What could take 6 weeks now takes us 2 days.
Oh, wow.
Once we do that intake, we mm-hmm. can match you with the fertility clinic. They will do your consult. That's they will amazing. Do the initial testing. Mm-hmm. And then from there on, they'll be able to explain to you, okay, this is what's going on with your ovarian reserve. Mm-hmm. This is what we believe you should be doing. Mm-hmm. And then you have... Now you have more information to make an informed decision.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really great. So kind of two follow-up questions I think I have. Mm-hmm. It's funny. You just kind of said casually, oh, we're a team of seven, right? And I find that, you know, if you are mm-hmm. a founder or a starter of something, it's so easy to just kind of talk about where you are. But how did you actually get there? Because I find that some people may have an idea and they may want to leverage people that also are like-minded, mm-hmm. but they just don't know where to find those people that maybe have the same passion or vision as them, right? Mm-hmm. So with you, you had this idea at the beginning. Mm-hmm. How did you gather other people that had a similar vision to grow into a team of seven?
Yeah, so two things. One, there were people who came and found me.
Okay.
Who saw what I was doing with BFJ and they're like, this is so important. I'm so glad to see this. How can I help? Mm-hmm. Which those types of people love. If you are one of those people, slide into my DMs. Always happy to chat. Mm-hmm. And then there were other people who I was just casually talking about what I was doing with BFJ. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, you can actually offer something in regards to like injection assistance. In like they were giving ideas to essentially expand BFJ. Mm-hmm. And because they were giving me ideas which would expand the business that, because I haven't transitioned to BFA at that point,
okay.
but I'm like, this sounds more like a business than what I was just doing by my lone self. Mm-hmm. So because they had such great ideas, I would be like, do you want to be a part of this and like build with me? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are like, yes.
Wow.
Yes. I've only received a couple of no's, a couple of rejections.
Which it's granted. It's
which
fine.
Is granted.
Yeah.
But overwhelmingly, a lot of people are very much in support of this and they want to be a part of it, that's which amazing. Makes it easier yeah. to talk about.
That's amazing. So if I can gather kind of everything that you said, you networked.
Oh,
right?
100%.
Yes. And shameless plug, a previous episode is all about networking. And I, like I said, I always stand on just the importance and the value of networking. And so it's nice to hear how networking kind of came in handy for you to build that team of seven that you're working with right now.
Yeah. And I wasn't afraid to slide into DMs of people who I thought were also doing great work.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which collaboration, I did. Right? Shout out to Maya. Because I slid into her LinkedIn DM. I'm mm-hmm. like, you look like you're doing great things. Mm-hmm. Are you interested in maybe offering coaching? Mm-hmm. And now she's one of our coaches.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. LinkedIn is honestly the best thing I think that has come out of this generation professionally, mm-hmm. because now it's so easy just to connect with like minds and other professionals. Like, gone are the days where you actually need to hunt someone down and follow them and tap them on the shoulder and be like, excuse me, sir.
Or call them, or call the company every single day, like the persistence.
Exactly.
Like, with the persistence that's necessary.
Yeah, now yeah. it's just so easy to search up their name, slide into their DMs, and then, you know, if it's a no,
At least you tried.
Yeah. But what if it's a yes? That's what I always say.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Okay. So you mentioned that there are other versions of BFA in like the Jewish community as well as Asian, mm-hmm. right? But why is it so important in the Black community, would you say, to have BFA?
Yeah. So I think representation matters. I think because we're still a community who thinks, you know, we're hyper fertile, or mm-hmm. we look at each other and poof, here comes a baby. Or, you know, my mom had 6 kids naturally, so I must be able to conceive. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily the case for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And the World Health Organization also says that 1 in 6 people experience infertility. Mm-hmm. And you don't necessarily find out you're infertile or you have those challenges until you're ready to have kids.
Right.
So I really believe in equipping people with the knowledge as soon as possible. If I could mm-hmm. get this information into high schools, I would. Mm-hmm. Just because I think the moment you have knowledge and the moment you have the necessary resources, you're able to make informed decisions. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk more about like what those decisions could be. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the more knowledge you have, you're able to just make better decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's true. Knowledge is definitely power.
Yeah,
I think so. I actually wanted to kind of get into, you know, for people that are thinking about their fertility journey, whether they're young or old, mm-hmm. what are some things that maybe they can do to make themselves more knowledgeable about maybe how fertile they are?
Yeah, I think the most basic thing is getting your AMH, which stands for anti-Müllerian hormone test. Mm-hmm. And this is essentially like a snapshot of your ovarian reserve for women.
Okay.
The equivalent would be getting like a semen analysis test for men. Mm-hmm. But the AMH is not expensive. Sometimes it's even covered under your health plan if you have private insurance.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and you can ask your primary care physician to do that test as well. I've mm-hmm. done the test, so I'm able to understand at the time of the test what my ovarian reserve looked like. Mm-hmm. And from there, you're able to think critically about, okay, this is what my results are. If I plan on, you know, going up the corporate ladder for the next 10 years, should I be thinking about egg freezing? Mm-hmm. Possibly yes. Mm-hmm. Or if, let's say, you're in a long-term committed relationship, or if you want to go along that journey solo and you want to have kids sooner rather than later, then maybe it's time for you to consider, okay, planning towards pregnancy.
Right.
Essentially. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on what phase you are in your life, your career, what other variables are that you have to consider. Mm-hmm. But start with your AMH. Mm-hmm. Once you get your AMH, now you're able to really think critically about, okay, these are my options.
Right.
And you can, of course, come to us and we can help you explain that too through one-on-one coaching.
Okay, that's really good. So I have a lot of listeners who are obviously maybe striving to do their PhD in their PhD, very ambitious.
Yeah.
Maybe even in their early 30s, 20s. Mm-hmm. And they're obviously thinking about, you know, as a woman, there's always a pull between, is it time to focus on my career or should I have a family? Can I do both? And I know I've spoken a lot about that on my podcast, and it's just kind of a balancing act that women have to kind of go through, right? Mm-hmm. So for someone who is really career minded and maybe wants to focus on their career, Or if they don't know when they're going to get married and maybe have kids, mm-hmm. what would you say that their options are? Just to make sure that when they do decide to have kids, that they will be able to.
Right. I would say first start with your AMH test. Mm-hmm. Get that basic understanding. Get the snapshot of what your ovarian reserve looks like. And then whether that's your family physician, ask them those questions as well. Sometimes your family physician will be like, okay, let me just pass you off to a gynecologist, or let me just pass you off to someone else.
Right.
Because they don't want to go through that explanation, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. At that time, of course, you can come to us and we can set you up with one of the nurses to explain your different options. Mm-hmm. But the number one option that you potentially could consider, I'm not going to say 100% go for it, because you also need to think whether or not you want to go through the procedure. And I say procedure, it's more like light sedation. Anyways, egg freezing. You could decide to freeze your eggs, right? Mm-hmm. And when I mention egg freezing to people, they're like, oh my gosh, if I freeze my eggs, I'll have no more eggs. Like, I'm 25 right now and I want to wait until I'm 35 to have kids. But if I freeze my eggs, I'll have no more. That's not how egg freezing works. We're mm-hmm. literally just freezing the eggs from that menstrual cycle. So instead of you essentially losing your eggs, mm-hmm. what month are we in?
February.
So mm-hmm. Let's say I'm supposed to have my period in February. Instead, I would be freezing those eggs. So I wouldn't lose those eggs.
Okay, right. Because the egg has to be released first.
Exactly.
For it to be extracted.
Exactly. Okay. So those eggs will then be frozen. So they're going to mm-hmm. They're gonna stimulate you to essentially produce more eggs during that cycle.
Right.
And then they would extract those eggs, then they would cryopreserve it, which is like mm-hmm. freezing it,
right?
And then those eggs would be frozen, so your next month you would still have your cycle.
Yeah, so it's not like they're taking all your eggs.
They're not taking all your eggs. They're literally taking your eggs from that month.
Okay, that's good actually. Yeah. Whilst we're on this, maybe if you could debunk some myths that I would say the Black community thinks about, or linked to fertility, yeah. at least, and egg donation or egg freezing or anything of that sort.
Yeah. So one thing I do hear a lot, I mean, I've already spoken about the hyperfertility, or that, you know, we can't have fertility issues. My mom had, I said it, I'm guilty, because mm-hmm. I'm one of six. And I remember getting my ovarian reserve back and just like, this can't be right. Like, what do you mean this is my number? And it wasn't even a bad number, yeah. but I was already debunking the number that they yes. gave me. So another thing I hear within egg donation, it's just like, why would you give your eggs to someone else? Like, that's your child, and like all these things. But in Canada, it's more altruistic. So essentially, it's like it's like a good deed. Mm-hmm. So in Canada, you don't get paid for donating your eggs. In the US, you do.
Yeah.
But you will get reimbursed for your expenses incurred. So if you decide to become an egg donor, I believe right now the minimum you can get reimbursed in Canada is around $8,000.
That's the minimum or the maximum?
That's like the minimum. Some people get more if they're like a proven egg donor. Right. So by proven, I mean, you know, you've donated your eggs before and that resulted in a pregnancy for the person who utilized your eggs. Mm. So proven egg donors could possibly get, you know, $15,000 mm-hmm. or $12,000 in reimbursement.
Okay.
In Canada.
But it's obviously, is it illegal to privately sell your eggs
in Canada? In Canada, it's very much illegal. Very much illegal.
Okay, so you can't just go on the black market or whatever and sell your eggs. Good to know.
I do know some people, I mean, I probably shouldn't say this, but I do know some people who go to the US and then sell their eggs.
Okay.
In that context.
Not that you're promoting it.
I'm not promoting it whatsoever, but you can. Like, that is up to them. Mm-hmm. And they would work with an agency. So there's agencies that do this in Canada and in the US that you can go to and donate your eggs.
Awesome.
And the same thing with surrogacy. Oh gosh, the myths about surrogacy.
Yeah, let's talk about that too.
It's not your child. I repeat, it's not your child. Yes, you are carrying the child, mm-hmm. but genetically, unless you also donate your eggs to that couple, that is not your child. You're more so that's why we call it gestational carrier. Like, that's actually the medical term. You're a gestational carrier for a couple, for an intended parent.
Okay.
And essentially what happens is after the egg donation and after sperm, there is what is called embryo creation. Mm-hmm. And then once the embryo is created in a lab, mm-hmm. then it's essentially inserted into the person who's going to be carrying the child.
Right.
Right. So mm-hmm. genetically, unless it's your eggs.
Yeah. Genetically, it's not your baby.
It's not your baby.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're just simply the carrier.
You're the carrier.
Yeah. To nurture the baby and the embryo until it's born.
Until it's born.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
And I do know a lot of people who are surrogates and they love doing it. So surrogates, that's a whole different ball game in terms of how much you're reimbursed.
And I'm sure that's highly regulated in Canada as well.
Very highly regulated. So mm-hmm. you can't pay a surrogate. Mm-hmm. Once again, you have to reimburse for their expenses incurred. Mm-hmm. And the minimum, I believe, is around like $20,000.
Okay. Okay.
And then it can go up if, let's say, you're a proven surrogate again. Mm-hmm. And then in the US, you can just go there and they'll pay you. But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's very interesting. Don't do that, folks. Okay,
please don't do that.
That's very interesting. Yeah, like I find the whole fertility space very interesting. And I find that there's a huge future for it because, like I said, the fertility issues amongst our community is on the rise, unfortunately, right?
Yeah.
So that like IVF is so common these days. I feel like it's more common than it was 10, 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
And so I know that it can also be quite costly as well, the whole procedure of IVF. And so are there any, I guess, grants or anything that people can do if they do want to do IVF, but maybe don't have the financial means to do it?
Yeah, so there's different organization nonprofits that offer, that offer different fertility grants. One that I can think off the top of my head is the Fertility Friends Foundation. Mm-hmm. And essentially every year they open a pool where people can apply and talk about themselves, their partner, what their situation is. But I believe typically what they look for in these types of foundations is the confirmation that you are experiencing infertility.
Okay.
So it can't just be, oh, I don't want to pay for IVF. Mm. Or I don't want to pay for IVF. Or I'm trying to think what other options. Yeah, you just have to have like that confirmation from the physician, the reproductive endocrinologist. And then there's also like other thresholds and benchmarks that you have to meet. Mm-hmm. But Fertility Friends Foundation is one that I can think of. And they offer, I believe, 10 to 20 grants per year.
Okay.
There's another one. It starts with the Miracle Something. It's run by two sisters. Mm-hmm. There's Fertility Matters Canada they have grants as well. Mm-hmm. We're also hoping that as we continue to build, we will offer personal grants to members of the Black community, because some of these organizations, it's kind of open to everyone, so it's a lot tougher to get that funding. Mm-hmm. And your story has to, you know, has to be a little bit of a knee jerker.
Yeah.
It has to be like the most extreme. But
right.
I mean, sometimes I'm of the opinion, I don't need to cry to be able to want to help you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like your journey is your journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as deserving as the next person.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're hoping to offer grants in the future as well to be able to help folks who are unable to afford it. Because it is expensive and it's only going to get more and more expensive.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. So where do you see the future of BFA? I mean, it started as BFJ, evolved to BFA.
We've come a long way.
Now you're bridging between, you know, people that are in need of information or referrals, rather.
Yeah.
Right? And so what's next for BFA?
We keep growing. Mm-hmm. We keep listening to the community. At this point, we're really just honing in and we're trying to make sure that our matching service meets the needs of our community.
Right.
So we're expanding that and really focusing on that. A couple of our nurses really want to talk about injection assistance and other like areas as people go through their journey.
Mm-hmm.
There's also ways we can help them.
Okay.
In an ideal world, we will be helping folks from the beginning to the end of their journey. And by end, I mean like postnatal services.
Oh, that's amazing.
Like we want to see people through the entire journey
and
not just help them in the beginning or in the middle or in the end. Like
full
service.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, our hope is to be a full service agency,
mm-hmm.
and expand globally. It'd be right now we do have a partner in the US, but we also want to continue to expand and build on that. But it takes time.
It definitely.
We're only technically BFA's only been in existence for 6 months and we've helped so many people.
Already.
So that's amazing. Only imagine where we are 5 years from
now.
And
I mean that just shows the need.
Yeah.
Right? Like you really just filled in a gap that was very necessary.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. Keep on doing great work.
Thanks, my dear. And thank you for always being so supportive.
No, I think it's the most brilliant idea ever. Like, I really stand by it. And I really see that it could go so, so far, you know? So I really pray that it will just continue to go further and you'll continue to touch many more lives.
Amen.
With what you're
thank
doing.
You.
No problem. So if we want to find more information about BFA and you, where can we go?
Gosh, for BFA, you can find us on pretty much every social media platform except for YouTube. We are still going by Black Fertility Journal because we use YouTube more as the area where we do the interviews. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of keeping as a journal and like a living archive of interviews. So YouTube, it's Black Fertility Journal. Everywhere else, it's Black Fertility Agency. I mean, if you want to follow myself, I'm not that interesting, honestly.
She is. Oh, I forgot to include in her intro as well. She's a world traveler. So,
oh my gosh.
You know, if you follow her on Instagram, you'll see all the cool places that she's been to. But go on.
Thank you. I mean, I don't think I'm that interesting, but yes, I am on Instagram. And you can also find me on LinkedIn, Patricia Data. I don't think I need to spell that out because it's probably in the
yeah, we'll include it in the show notes.
In the show notes. But yeah, I would love to connect if anyone's interested in being a part of BFA, or you know, you want to get some one-on-one time with a nurse, or you just want to see how we can best support you. By all means, reach out to us and we'd be more than happy. We would be privileged to help you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Patricia.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Yes. And thank you everyone for listening to another episode of Lessons from PhD. And we're out. See you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.